2020 just began a few months ago. And we were just coming into this Lent season. And I don't think anybody would ask this as their category of suffering. I know some people give up meat, some people give up entertainment and whatnot, but I don't think any of us have expected this to happen this past week. I don't know what your week was like this past week, but if you are like me, many things went through your mind. Confusion, panic, fear, sometimes anger, denial, maybe someone despairing. So this past week, just like you, I've been examining my own heart and trying to experiment with what I know into my own life. But I want to begin today's sermon with these practical thoughts that I've thought about this past week, dealing with my own emotions and dealing with my own circumstances. First one is this. You need not a single verse, but an entire Christian worldview to deal with deep crisis. If you are like me, on Twitter or whatever social media, many people were tweeting and posting verses, Bible verses. And as I was listening and looking at those verses, I found out the comfort that I was supposed to draw from those verses didn't last that long. A single verse here and there. And I realized, you know, I need more than a verse to go through this crisis. Alvin Moeller said this, "You either hold to a lot of theology, or eventually you hold to none at all." So we could go to many places to get that whole theology, but I am going to point you to one place that we are very familiar with. That is Heidelberg Catechism, question 1. It was written in 1563. I am sure many Christians, they knew at the time what it means to suffer. So very first question that we are very familiar with, but now it comes differently to me. The very first question is this. What is your only comfort in life and death? What is your only comfort in life and death? An entire theology, our Christian theology, it comes to us. Answer, that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the comfort that we have. I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair could fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. That is, in essence, what you and I need, I think, during this crisis, rather than single verse here and single verse there. Second thing, feed your mind with the Word of God, not simply with the breaking news feed. I've turned on my notifications to stay informed, and I am sure many of you did that as well. But if you just read news feed all day, listening to all these interviews and news that you watch on TV, we are going to lose our minds and we will become fearful. So we need to stop and feed our minds with the Word of God. And in relation to that, couple things. Do not imagine worst case scenario. We need to be prepared. But often our minds think the worst case scenario all the time. What if, and we be scared, we become scared. But tell your mind to stop. And second thing is talk to yourself, that is, speak the word of God to you. Pray the word of God. People say, pray for this, pray for that. But before you pray, you need word of God to pray. So use the word of God, read the word of God, to pray the word of God during this time. So third suggestion before we talk about the Bible passage is, then how do you feed your mind with the word of God? When you're in crisis, I don't think many people have the peace of mind to read for a long time, because our mind just runs to things that we think about. So I ask you, if you have a hard time reading the Bible passage and you don't know where to turn to, why don't you read some of the books during this time? And I have given you some of the links on our Twitter. So use those. Use those portions to read during this time. I am going to post up the link too, but this little book, this is taken out from Calvin's Institute, but you could find this online. But this is a newer translation, easier translation. And chapter 2 is titled as Self-Denial in the Christian Life. I don't think this is time for us to learn new things, but to read very basic foundational truths for Christian life. So whatever you read, read very basic things to reinforce your Christian beliefs to stand firm in those truths. The last thing is, once again, it is time for us to believe what you believe. To really, truly, sincerely believe what you have confessed to know and believe. This is the time that rubber meets the road, and it will test us. All that we think we know, all the things that we confess to know, now it is time to truly believe and live according to the truths that we know and confess. During this week, my mind was drawn to one verse. That is chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And if you could turn there in verse 11, what does it say? Give us this day our daily bread. I've been thinking about that because, for obvious reason, I was thinking, you know, we pray this in our church every Sunday, but I realized I don't think I really prayed that verse, because, I mean, food is something that we take for granted. We have food on our table, and I know some of you grew up in a very poor families, and you told me your stories growing up. But by and large, give us this day our daily bread. I don't think many Christians in America could really pray their prayer, because, I mean, it is always there for most of us. But during this time of crisis and need, I really thought about that, and I repented of my just taking things for granted. And that was highlighted by that verse, and I've been praying, God, give me this day many things, you know, toilet paper especially past week. So whatever that we didn't see on the shelves of our grocery store, and I know we could pray this prayer really with faith. But let me read you what I've written down as a preface before we talk about this Lord's Prayer. Praying involves our heart's desire Therefore, it reveals who we are at the core. Therefore, this Lord's Prayer or Disciples' Prayer is not simply a liturgy or meant to be simply recited, but to reorient and restructure our entire lives according to the pattern set by Jesus Christ. At heart, the Lord's Prayer is divine, therefore supernatural revelation to us. So treat it accordingly. We think we know this Lord's Prayer because most of us know this by heart, right? Our Father, which art in heaven. And we could go on. And so as I was meditating on that single verse, give us this day our daily bread, I realized this Lord's Prayer or Disciples' Prayer is really helpful for us to now live our lives during this time of crisis. So what I will do is, next few minutes, just to give you big picture and comment on these verses that we know, and not to extensively to talk about this. If you heard me saying what I've just said as a preface, instead of just praying this, think about your life as you pray this prayer in your life every day. Because our first instinct is to go to God and ask for, give me this day our daily bread. We immediately go to our need. God, provide me. Provide me for this, my job, my paycheck, my grocery. But this really gives us right perspective for us as Christians during this time. And very first thing that we say is what? Our Father, who is in heaven. That's right. First thing that you remind yourself during this week is this. We are adopted as children of God, so we have this privilege of calling God as our Father. But it says, our Father who is in heaven. So when you pray this prayer, our mind is redirected to heaven, which is our home. Bible says, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come in Hebrews 13:14. So our Father who is in heaven during this week, as you go through your lives, I hope and pray your hearts and minds will be drawn to our Heavenly Father and think about heaven as our home. And also what that means is, Calvin said this, God has manifested himself as Father to us. If we do not manifest ourselves as sons to him in return, we prove ourselves to be extremely ungrateful. So, our Father who is in heaven, we have access to the Father, and he is in heaven. So immediately our hearts are drawn to heaven, that is our home. But at the same time, it reminds us of our responsibility as children of God. It's not simply God protecting us. It's simply not God providing for us. It is that. But also think about, as we call him our Heavenly Father, what is our duty as children of God? What is your duty as children of God? So I thought, it's great. Lord's Prayer, many of us, we know by heart. So if you are walking down the aisle in your grocery store, pray this prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven? What is the second one we pray? Second petition. Hallowed be your name. Once again, focus is drawn to the glory of God. That means your name be honored as holy. During this crisis, we cannot do anything that will bring dishonor to our God's name, right? So we are so tempted to just to focus on ourselves and our needs. But immediately we say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We pray, we petition your name be honored as holy. We cannot simply go turn and go about sinning, no. So remind yourself for this. Next one. What is next petition? Your kingdom come. Even at this time, our prayer is that Christ's kingdom, God's kingdom will be realized on earth. Pray that prayer as you pray for many other things. Pray to God, God, expand your kingdom through the gospel. Many people are scared, and I think it's a good time that people could be receptive to your Christian testimony. What's next one? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's right. We know God's will, revealed will in the Bible. But during this time, why don't you ask God, what is your will for me, for my life, and for my family, for my children, for this nation, for our church? What are you trying to teach us through this crisis? Pray this prayer in your heart. Father, our Father who is in heaven. Immediately I'm thinking about heaven. Immediately I know I have access to my Father. I think about my duty. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the first half of Lord's Prayer. And now we turn to three petitions in the second half of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I always thought it was interesting how give us this day, this is in imperative form. Obviously, we need to approach the throne of God respectfully and with honor, thanksgiving. But it is an imperative. That is, God has authorized us to pray this prayer with confidence. Give us, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And this obviously helps us to turn to God for daily need. Every day. It is not simply one-time deal, but daily, as you pray this prayer, you are dependent upon God for daily sustenance. So, brothers and sisters, call upon Him. Call upon God's name, Christ's name, with confidence. And ask God to give you all the things that you need for your daily lives. You are authorized to pray this prayer. What's next one? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Parallel passage in Luke 11 says this, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So largely, this debt that the Lord's Prayer is talking about is sin. Forgive us our sins, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. It is very important, I think, during this time of uncertainty. What do you see? I see a lot of anger. Anger towards people. Anger towards the leadership of the country, foreign country, for the failures. We see a lot of anger. But as I was reading and reminding myself of this Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive other people's sin. You know, Right after Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, do you know what verses follow? Let me read verse 14 and 15 for you. As if Christ's focus was on this. Verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. As if that forgiveness is the important part of the Lord's Prayer. So think about this. We could be angry at many different things during this time. But let us remember, God has forgiven us of our sins. And in turn, God calls us to forgive other people's sin as well. So if you are really praying this prayer during this time, you will be gracious people. As children of God, before you could lash out at someone for that anger that has been built up in us for past week, let us remember it is our God who has forgiven us of our sins, and it is required of us to forgive other people's failure. And as children of God, be gracious. Be forgiving of other people's sin. The last one. It says, verse 13, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's right. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are going through this furnace, but God graciously teaches us to pray to deliver us from evil. Evil of this age, evil of suffering, evil of virus, evil of people being self-centered during this time. Pray that God will deliver us from all those evil. And lead us not into temptation. We are so tempted to sin, that is, be angry. We are so tempted to be self-centered during this time. We are so tempted to be angry at God. We are so tempted to just to look unto ourselves and our own need. But as you pray this prayer, God will make this happen because this is God's word. Now let me just summarize once again. Just going into the Lord's Prayer, I didn't think that the Lord's Prayer was actually something that I wanted to talk about today. But I realized it contains so much of valuable insights for us, especially for this season. Like I said, I realized this is supernatural revelation from Son of God. So don't think that you know this just because we recite this every Sunday. But because we know this by heart, during this week, why don't you? If your heart becomes fearful, why don't you pray this prayer so that you could have the right perspective? Heavenly Father, to deliver us from evil. It encompasses our entire life. Pray this prayer. Be men and women of God with faith, and God will deliver us. And after this, God will make us pure gold, like pure gold after this. Let us pray.